So I spent the first part of my preparation for these thoughts, these short thoughts this evening, trying to find out when we last had these two readings, because they felt like they belonged together. And I had a feeling that it was just a few weeks ago that I preached on them somewhere, maybe here, maybe in the morning, who knows, maybe a midweek service. But unless my search function is broken on my PC, or probably more accurately, my ability to use my search function is broken on my PC, I've never preached on these two readings together, despite the fact they feel so closely aligned. And indeed, they are the readings set for St. Michael and All Angels, September 25th. But I've never preached on them, at least not that I have a record of. The link between Jacob's dream of a ladder reaching up into the heavens and Jesus' talk about angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man in John's Gospel. So, you may be asking, why is this important? Well, because it does seem there is a link, a deliberate link, between Jacob's dream, or the story of Jacob's ladder, as we often call it, and the statement that Jesus' followers would see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. It grounds John's Gospel in a kind of unusual way. It's often thought of as the most esoteric and cosmic of the four Gospels. It doesn't share a name with the other three, who are called the Synoptic Gospels, the three that have the same viewpoint. John stands on its own. It seems so often also that we find in John's Gospel a certain amount of anti-Semitism that isn't grounded in the Hebrew tradition, except for today, when it's firmly placed within the Hebrew traditions. It offers a reminder of Jesus' deep roots. He is called Rabbi in this passage. His deep roots in the Jewish faith and its link to the Jacob story reminds the reader very early on in John's Gospel, if they have any knowledge of the Hebrew stories, that there is a significant journey ahead. The other reason I was looking up whether I preached on this before is I was wondering why these readings for this week of the year. We're not following a particularly clear path through our scriptures, as we often are, getting through a book and then moving on to the next book. And the way the Revised Common Lectionary, which is our reading scheme, works is that the second service readings, which is what this is, and the readings in the week that follow for morning and evening prayer are all linked in some way to the reading for the Sunday service, the Sunday morning service, the morning service at which we had this parable that is on the front of your bulletin, the parable of the unripe fig tree. And that's the only link I can find, a fig tree. We had the parable of that unripe fig tree that was going to be cut down this morning, and the gardener says, whoa, hang on, bit more manure, it'll be fine, leave it another year. And here we have Nathanael asking Jesus, how did you know me? And Jesus' reply, I saw you under the fig tree. That's it. That seems to be the link between our morning and evening readings. Why then, you may be asking, you pretty certainly are asking, why does this have any relevance to anything? Well, this little exercise in noodling around scripture was at least in part just some fun on my part, trying to find some connections. But more seriously, there's a definite problem that many of us have been brought up with, many of us have been given, in that we've been told that our scriptures all fit together, and they don't. We've been told they all work to make a whole, a systematic work, which if we have all the right knowledge, it will fit together like a jigsaw and give us the ultimate truth. And while there are some really deliberate links, particularly with the writers of what we call the New Testament, linking back to the Hebrew scriptures, there are very few places where our scriptures fit together to create a beautiful and clear picture. Our scriptures are as messy as our everyday lives are. They're as messy as our world is. The collection of books that we call our Bible does not have one clear message. There is no magical fit. There is no univocality. There are so many different contexts, places, people, and stories that it's amazing it doesn't contradict itself more often than it does. And it's messy because some of our authors are concerned with creating a social order. Some are concerned with ritual or priestly order. Some want to tell stories, stories of great meaning and myth and import. Some are concerned with sharing wisdom. Some with trying to deal with one problem in one place at one time. What unifies them all is that they are essentially asking the same question. Where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this life and this mess and this joy and this beauty, this poetry, these experiences, these myths, these stories? Where is God in the earth upon which we live? Where is God in the sky under which we labor and we rest? Where is God within us? Where is God around us? Where is God between us? And from that question of where God is, other questions spring with which our forebears in faith continually wrestle. What does it mean to talk about God? What and who is God? Why does it matter? How does God relate to us? Does God relate to us? How does God relate to our community, our tribe? How does God relate to each one of us individually? And this is the part that melts the brains of those of us who think systematically. These questions are asked but never answered. At least they're not given one answer for all time. No simple, easy to follow guidelines. We have glimpses. We have understandings which are shared with us. We have themes that repeat again and again, particularly when it comes to love, when it comes to grace, when it comes to justice. But we don't get easy answers or a 10-step program for a better world. What we do get is what Jacob was promised, that in all of this we do not do it alone. All of the searching, the asking, the justice making, the reconciliation, the healing, all of it is done together and with God. It is our task to continue to make meaning and to make our lives and the lives of others meaningful and filled with love. May it be so. Amen.